Oh God, this feels good. Feels refreshing, God, to lift up your name in a place with people who love you. God, we thank you today for this opportunity, and we thank you that you are a God who is from beginning to end. You are the Alpha and you are the Omega. And God, we know, we've read the end of the book. You win. And God, because you win, we win. So God, fill our lives again today with just a strengthening of your spirit inside of us. Fill us to overflowing, God. Encourage us today in your word, and God, let us fall in love with you just a little bit more. God, you're amazing. We love you today. We love you and we appreciate you. And thank you, God, for all your goodness towards us. God, be honored, be blessed, be glorified in and through us today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God is good, eh? Praise the Lord. I want to thank you for, we are in interesting times and we're allowed to be together in a certain amount of grouping. Of course, we're scheduling and we're live streaming. And trying to be together as much as possible in the days ahead. And just want to thank you for when you come in the building, just honoring what we have to do in order for us to be together. The social distancing, you are allowed to sit with your family. You don't have to sit across the room. But just thanks for doing that. And we've had to close our basement because of the cleaning that needs to take place when you open it. So we do have a washroom in the building, in that alcove right there if you need to use it. But God is good. Great to see you. Matthew chapter 26 to 29. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." This is a great picture of today. Because Jesus, back then with his disciples, they didn't really recognize or understand this fully, but he was about to lay his life down, and they were going to be able to see some things unfold and take place in the days ahead that were going to rattle them and shake them. And today we have given you in the room here in the building your own personal communion items, and those at home will have those available from their kitchen. But I want to just pause as we come back sort of in this way together to remind ourselves of the greatness of why we gather together and why this is good in this place today. I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Wow. Jesus will not take communion again until the day when all the people from around the world, all the Christians, all the saints, gather together with him at the great feast. Does that not do something inside of you? Doesn't that excite you? That Jesus, for the first time, will take communion again when we're with him. And you won't miss it. You will be there to see it and experience it live, face to face, color, full glory. It's going to be great. But until then, we take communion to remind ourselves that there is that day. There is that hope. There is that assurance that we have. And that's what helps us to live day after day after day to bring glory to God. Now, I forgot to do my day math, but it's been, just over 4 months, 4.5 months since this whole thing sort of kind of started, where they closed the doors on us. And, it's been a waiting game for this moment today when we could partially come together. And we are waiting for that day when all the restrictions will be off and we'll be back where we're all gathering together in one place. It's a waiting game. You know, we don't know necessarily when that day is, but it's we know it's going to come. I hope and pray for that to come, right? And, you know, we're unable to meet. We're under restrictions as we are today. We get blindsided, you know, life blindsided us. It was unexpected. And we are waiting, though, for that time when the thing will just sort of finish, per se, the way it's gone. You know, Jesus is saying a lot in this scripture, and what they're about to experience, the disciples, when he has communion with them, you know, there were hints. Jesus was direct in sharing what was going to happen, but they still wouldn't really understand it or know it, would they? And so what was about to take place, of course, is that Jesus is going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane after this experience with them, opening and cutting the bread and sharing the cup. And he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane. He's going to be arrested. There's going to be trials. He'll be before Pilate. He's going to be scourged. His back's going to be torn apart. He's going to be crucified. He's going to die. He's going to be buried. And then he's going to be raised from the dead. And there'll be live encounters after his death with disciples, with those gathered. And they will literally at one point see him just sort of go up into the air and disappear from their sight. Wouldn't that have been spectacular? This is what they're about to experience, about to see, about to take place. And now, just like we are today, they then were going to have to wait. They didn't know it was going to be their lifetime. They didn't know that Jesus wouldn't come back when they were still alive. They just knew that he had said he'd be back. And we too, today, we're 2,000 some years removed, and we still are waiting, expecting that Jesus will keep his promise and that Jesus will return. He will come back just like he said he would. He said, you see me going up into the sky. He says, that's how you're going to see me return. It's going to be awesome and spectacular. There'll be no more wondering, waiting anxiously. It'll be, here he is. And everything will change. And it's going to be fantastic. You know, 2 Timothy, when Paul, the apostle, is getting near the end of his life. He's now in his second imprisonment. It's not like he was in house arrest at first. It's gotten a lot worse. There's a new emperor. Nero is not good. And here he is in his end time, and he says this, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who loved his appearing. You see, what that's saying is that we are fighting a fight. And God is calling us to fight a good fight. But in the midst of it all, what keeps us going? It's the fact that we know that he'll appear. We know that he's coming again. We know he's going to return. And that anticipation, that longing in our spirit should never grow dim, because we should know that he promised he'd return. And folks, he will do it. He will keep his promise. He will return. But we need to live with that anticipation, that expectancy, that knowledge, that passion that Jesus Christ will return and fulfill his promise. Of course, when he does, there's what's going to happen is it's going to be us, as I said earlier, in the marriage supper of the Lamb, the great feast, you know, when all of us are back united with him and we gather together in this banquet and we get to have fellowship with him, intimate fellowship that isn't by faith, it's by sight. And in that, we hear in Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 to 9, when John is looking at these visions and sights, he says, I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thundering, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Folks, that's you and that's me. We're a part of that chorus, that great sound. We're the ones that are going to say this and declare it when it's in his presence. And it's going to be fantastic. Are you excited? Isn't that great? That's us. And it goes on to say, let us rejoice, be glad, and give the glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. You feel like a bride today? I did a wedding ceremony yesterday in a backyard in College Heights, and the rain stopped for the ceremony. It was awesome. I stayed dry. Beautiful bride, beautiful setting. The groom waiting for her to come down from the house. You see, we're a bride being prepared. We're preparing ourselves for that day when we'll see Jesus and he'll come and we'll be united with him. The groom and the bride together, feasting. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be awesome. You know, when you talk about a marriage supper of the Lamb, there's three significant kind of wedding customs that took place in the time of Jesus in this Israel culture that signify this very thing. The first one was a marriage contract. This is where the wedding custom of the time was that would be contract signed by the parents of the bride and the bridegroom. Additionally, the contract was signed by the parents of the bridegroom, and the bridegroom would pay a dowry. He'd make a payment to the bride's family. And it's like that betrothal period would begin like we would consider today of an engagement. So this would be the contract signed leading into an engagement of the couple. And the interesting thing was that you look back when Jesus was born, just before he was born, Joseph betrothed Mary, you know, and that's the kind of thing. A contract was put in place for them in that time. And now the second thing that would occur is a torchlight parade through the streets. And what would happen was the bridegroom would get together with his friends, you know, his attendants, all his male friends that he had, and they would literally go down towards the bride's house at midnight. And they would arrive roughly around midnight, and they would get together with the bride. Now, the bride knew this was going to take place. This was a custom. And she would have to be ready with all her girl attendants. And they would prepare for when this procession came and met with them at the house there. And they'd continue this parade and celebration around midnight. It's much like what you've heard in the parables. Do you remember the parable of Jesus when he talked about the 10 virgins getting ready for the bridegroom? And the five were wise, the five were unwise, five got ready, five didn't. You know, it was not a very good thing for the bride not to get together and be ready for when the bridegroom came with his friends down the street. And it's the same analogy that Jesus used. And Jesus used stories that they could relate to and understand. And understand that they needed to be ready. The bride needs to be ready for the groom. We need to be ready for when Jesus returns. And then, of course, there was the marriage supper itself. And this one, during the time of Jesus, the marriage supper could go on for days. You remember at the beginning of Jesus' ministry when he showed up and nothing had happened yet, and all of a sudden, you know, Mary comes and says, hey, you know, we've run out of wine, and Jesus turns the water into wine. You know, that was a wedding celebration that was taking place, a feast over days, and they were celebrating and having this marriage finish and come to fruition. Now, the events described by Jesus, you know, in Revelation is such a thing that is like this. It's the same kind of analogy of customs it's using. You see, the first phrase of what happens to us is when we come into relationship with Jesus. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and you came into covenant with him, you literally, it was like signing a wedding contract, an engagement contract, where you committed yourself completely to the bridegroom, to Jesus. That's your betrothal. We're in our betrothal period because we're literally in a contract. We've said yes to Jesus, to being united with him. And who's paid the dowry? God the Father paid the dowry through Jesus dying on the cross, and Jesus, by shedding his blood, paid the dowry for us. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that spectacular? God and Jesus took care of it. But what was our part? Our part was saying, yes, we're united with Christ, and we will not relinquish our contract, our commitment to him. The second part, of course, is when we're like that virgin, the 10 virgins, where we basically are trying to make sure that we are preparing ourselves. And Jesus is that second part when he comes in all his glory in the clouds and he appears. And in the twinkling of an eye, we will be with him. And when we see that, that's that parade from heaven that's coming down to unite itself with the bride. That torchlight parade, that celebration. And that's what we're waiting for. That's what we're becoming ready for. That's why we don't want to let our guard down. That's why we don't want to lose our faith. That's why we don't want to turn to the left or the right or pull back or be impassionate about it. We want to stay passionate about the bridegroom and be ready for that moment when he appears. Because when he appears, we want to be in united in that contract with him so that we can be united with him with peace and with glory. And then the third part is we will celebrate with him, not for days, folks, for eternity. Oh, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be awesome. And your faith and my faith is going to be so incredibly full of sight. And we're never going to get sick. We're never going to have to worry about a virus. We're never going to have to worry about those aches and pains that I felt when I got up today. You know, we're going to be able to be at peace and with such joy, and sin and doubt and anxiousness and stress and striving, it just isn't going to be there anymore, because we'll be in relationship with God for eternity. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that what we look for? Isn't that the ultimate joy that we want to remind ourselves and be strengthened with in our lives today and in the days ahead? You know, that's the day when we will have fellowship and intimate relationship with Jesus. That's why we hang on. That's why we keep going. That's why we get up in the morning and say, God, you know, I don't know what this day is going to lead towards or what's going to happen, but God, thank you that you'll be a part of it. And then I am going to prepare myself today, whatever I can do, to make sure that I'm ready, should that be the day. You know, we have a Tuesday morning Bible study here for, you know, on Revelation. And one of the folks that was there made this quote. And I mean, I just was like captured by the fact of, you know, this thought that, you know, it says Christ will return in the rapture and all that's going to occur in the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, in a breath. And we're preparing ourselves. And their question was, how do we prepare ourselves for what's going to take place in just a blink? Our whole life, we're preparing ourselves, our faith, our strength, our being a bride for what's going to take place in just a quick moment. And we don't want to be caught unaware, unprepared. We want to be ready for that day when Jesus will come. And we're going to have a banquet that will beat all banquets. And we're going to be yelling out hallelujah to the Lamb. That's what we've called to do. We've been called as Christ, as Christians, his people, his bride, that we will use that hope to persevere in our faith and in the days ahead. We have united ourselves with Christ. We are expecting and waiting for his return. And we're living for that day today when we will be with him in all his glory. We're going to take communion together in this moment, in this time. you know, we have these disposable communion cups, and I'll just ask you to be careful as you open them. But the wafer's on top. And what an opportunity. Hopefully I won't go off camera here to grab mine. Isn't it fantastic that we can share this together to be reminded of our faith, to be reminded of what Jesus has done, you know, and to know that he has done and given us a way that we can spend eternity with him. And God, today as we hold these emblems represented by this wafer and this little cup, God, we thank you that Jesus and God the Father, that you paid the dowry, that you made the way that we could be the bride, and that we can look forward to now to that day when, Jesus, you will take the cup again and you'll take it with us for the first time since that night with your disciples. God, we thank you that you have given us life. Thank you that you've given us a hope that we can hold in our hearts every day that will always keep before us so that we will continue to move forward and go through anything that this life throws at us, knowing that you're with us, you haven't forsaken us, that your spirit is with us. So Jesus, we take the wafer today and we recognize that the dowry you paid was not cheap. It cost everything. It cost you your life. You suffered, your body was torn apart. You had those spikes put into you, hung on that tree until you suffocated to death. For that, we are grateful. That was the price you paid for us to be the bride, to have the hope of that feast in heaven and eternity with you. And we take the wafer today and we do it out of love and compassion. We take it to honor you, Jesus. In your wonderful name. Let's partake of the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, you're good, God. So good. What a love you are. And Jesus, you shed your blood. The blood that you promised would be the cleansing of our sin, that would make it possible for us to go to heaven and stand before your Father. Your blood has cleansed us from all sin, all unrighteousness. And we are whole in you. We are clean in you. What a hope. Thank you for your blood today, God, that we, as we take the cup together, we're remembering, and we're remembering also, God, that we will share this cup with you in eternity. Let's partake together in love towards Jesus. Praise your name, God. Thanks, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's what communion is, folks. It's a reminder to us of what Jesus has done, but it's a reminder of what our hope is, what's ahead. When we're united with the bridegroom, it reminds us of the feast that will take place in his honor. Let's live with that passion. Can we take a few moments today, and they're going to lead us in a couple songs of worship. And, you know, just as a way just to say thanks to Jesus, our groom, let's honor him with our song and with our words of thanksgiving today. And let's bless him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
faithful one, so unchanging. Ageless one, you're my rock of peace. Lord of all, I depend on you, and I call out to you again and again.
This song has been really helpful for me this year, and I guess it's kind of my theme song for this year, so.
The Lord is my shepherd. He goes before me. Defender behind me. I won't fear. I'm filled with anointing. My cup's overflowing. No weapon can harm me. I won't fear.
Yeah.
God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you to a God who is with us, who's not forsaken us, nor will he ever. Thank you, Jesus, for your love towards us. That gives us strength today. And we do hope in you, God. And we make ourselves ready for that day when you'll return. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.